Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Johnny Hickey. So, Johnny, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. So, I live in St. Augustine, Florida. I've been here for about a year, and I'm from New York originally. I retired from the New York City Fire Department about a year and a month now, and I work in marketing, digital marketing.
Awesome. So I know that you're a CMO at a certain company. So can you talk more about specifically the company and what your exact role is?
I'm fractional there, actually. They don't really need a full-time CMO. So I imagine one day they will, the way it's going. So hopefully they'll consider me for the position then. But I've been with them for about a little over 2 years now. So the company is called Perfect White Tea, and that's perfect. White as in the color white. T-E-E, and they sell t-shirts. I'm wearing one right now. This is one of their t-shirts. I would say probably about 95% women is the brand. So I'm like probably one of the only guys who wears it.
Awesome.
Not one of the only ones, but there's most of our customers are women. We have 40,000 customers. And when I looked recently, there was less than 1,000 men in the database. And that doesn't mean necessarily that there's less than 1,000 customers, because I'm sure there's some women buying for men, but that's just an indication of, you know, who we market to.
Awesome. So can you just talk more about that, right? So are the products unisex and just more so like the marketing is geared towards women, or is it like different products for men and women? Like, what does that look like? And also just from like a marketing perspective.
Sure. I should mention, I have an in with this job. So my wife is one of the owners of the company, and I helped them start. When they started out, I kind of helped them lay out their marketing plan for DTC, and they weren't really caring about DTC. They were just like, we don't care. We know what we're going to do. If you want to do some DTC stuff, maybe we'll let you do it down the road. And I was just so frustrated, because I was like, wow, you know, I was into marketing for about 2 years at that point. This is 2020, 2019. And I've been studying marketing for about 2 years and working for some small websites, and I was like, just let me, you know, let me sell this product. And they're like, no, we know what we're going to do with it already. It's not DTC. So I was itching to get it. And they had an Instagram account. And so they gave me the Instagram password. And they said, if you want, you can go in there and comment on our posts and try to drum up business in the DMs. And then that's as good as it gets. We're not going to open up a website. So there, my wife's in the wholesale women's clothing business, and she sells like 1,000 stores across the United States. She used to sell department stores, but now she focuses on boutiques. So she knew what she was doing. She was like, had a business plan already set up. She's like, I'm just going to sell this to all these stores. So I went into the DMs and started talking to people, following influencers, DMing influencers, and they would be like, what are you doing in there? Who are you talking to? You know, we see you in the DMs. Who is that you're talking to? I'm like, you're a guy. You shouldn't be talking to those girls like that. You know, like, I'm like, hey, we love your photos. We love what you're doing. I was like, I just like took this avatar on as I'm a woman who works for this company, not like some dude who's, you know, pushing 50 years old, contacting little, you know, like 25 to 35 year old influencers. So, which wasn't even their demographic. That was the funny thing. They were looking more for like 35 to 55 at the time, I think. And then the customer base just chose itself. So a couple of months in, they said one day, hey, we're opening up a Shopify site. We got somebody to do it. We have an agency working on it. We don't need your help. And I was like, oh, I'm out in the dark over here. You know, I can't believe they just decided to do this without me. And I was working for another couple of companies. So I kept doing the thing with the Instagram. I was in the comments section. They were allowing me to follow people. They were kind of like limiting what I would do. They'd be like, just stick with your little job that you're doing. And as they started to see sales come in, they were like, you know what, go work on Shopify and see what you can do. So they had an agency working for them, and I worked with the agency a little bit. And, you know, the brand just had legs, just crazy energy in the very beginning. It had nothing to do with my meager marketing skills. I just got dragged along for the ride. They were on Shopify. We weren't sending out any emails. Maybe like once a month, we would send an email out saying, hey, we got a new project dropping. It would sell out. We weren't doing any Facebook ads in the beginning. We weren't doing any Google ads. And as the product grew because of what they were doing, they had gotten into 700 stores very early on. And because it was in 700 stores, what I think was happening is my personal opinion, no proof of it. People were going into the stores, seeing the product. They were doing limited production runs. It was selling out. So people would go in, they would be at a rack and be like, oh, okay, can I have this in small? No, we don't have that in your size. Sorry. So they would go Google, perfect white tee, and be like, oh, here's the brand website. So I think that's how we started getting business in the beginning, is just through word of mouth, because people were happy about the fabric. And the thing about the product is, it's really good when you're a great marketer and you're like a genius and you're really smart and you could just market any product. But that's not me. I started reading marketing books at like 47 years old and just kind of dove into whatever I could manage. But I was lucky that they had a great product. They have a fantastic product. My wife has been in the clothing business for 20 plus years. Jen Menchaca, her partner. My wife's name is Lisa Hickey. My wife's partner's name is Jen Menchaca. Jen had another clothing brand before this. My wife's launched like 50 clothing brands as a salesperson. So the two of them together knew what they were doing. And they presented me, this inept marketer, with this fantastic product. And it just gave me the opportunity to just test all the time these different theories and stuff I would read on Reddit, Twitter, Facebook ads groups. And, I followed all these like guys like Mr. Sam Baldwin on YouTube for Google, Charlie the Disruptor on Twitter. Who else on Twitter? There's a bunch of guys on Twitter. I'm just terrible at remembering who all that I was following. Cody Blocker from Jones Road. All these great marketing guys. So I would read their stuff and I'd be like, well, let me try to put that into practice in our company. So that's what I would do. And as time went on, one day we just realized that I'm just not a great executor. I was trying to make Facebook ads up myself. And I have run ad accounts before. I've run an account that had probably $50,000, $60,000 worth of spend a month at one point at the top. So I have a tiny bit of experience with that. I also ran Google ads. I've been involved in Facebook and Google ads for more than 10 years as a novice. I had a real estate company before this. So I would run my own Facebook and Google ads for my real estate business. And so I was familiar with the platforms. I just wasn't adept. So at one point, we just realized one day, like, I'm not executing all these great strategies that I'm getting from these awesome guys on Twitter and Reddit and Facebook. So I had been reaching out to freelancers here and there and talking to a lot of people. We had a very low budget for marketing. I think in October of 2021, we had just been hitting five-figure months for a little while. We had a six-figure month. And my budget was probably about 20% of that total. So I went to Fiverr and I hired a couple of freelancers off of Fiverr. And we had like double our business in 2 months. So I started overseeing basically just a team of freelancers. This guy named Timmy, asktimmy.com. He oversaw our email. This guy named Basil Abbas, also off of Fiverr. He oversaw our Facebook ads. And Google Ads was Mr. Sam Baldwin, which is key commerce agency. And they were like our big ticket agency. They were like $4,000 a month. They were like a lot. We were like, oh my gosh, how are we going to spend $4,000 on this one thing? One agency. But the ROAS was sick with those guys. We don't even track ROAS anymore. Back then we were. And we started to go up about, I would say like 10, 15, 30% month over month growth. We would have a month where we would do 10 and then 15 and then 20. And, when you're talking month over month, that adds up. So I ended up quitting my full-time job as a fireman in New York City early. I didn't get to 20 years. We were living in New York with three kids. My wife is like super stressed because she's like five companies. And we talked about me retiring, me working full-time in marketing. And so that's what we moved towards. So we quit and I started working a lot more on marketing. I took on some more clients and got into media buying for other companies and fractional CMO. This is one of the companies I work for, The Era.
Oh, nice. LA.
Yeah, so I got Perfect YT in The Era. This was brand new. This is a very tiny company. Should be fun to see what happens with it. And, I just continue my journey, just learning.
Awesome. Well, like, it's really cool. It's funny, like, I read somewhere once that so a lot of firemen are able to have side hustles, quote unquote, because, like, you do have those, like, lots of time off. Like, you have, like, the back-to-back days, but you have, like, the good amount of time off. So it's pretty cool that you were able to do that. But I guess, like, you mentioned that you just got into marketing not that long ago, but what specifically, I guess, captured your interest in marketing specifically?
In about 2017 or 18, I was running this real estate business that in 06, I bought my first house and it was a three family house. There's a website called Bigger Pockets, and I had like jumped wholeheartedly into Bigger Pockets. So
I
within
remember that.
15 years, yeah, it's a pretty well-known website for real estate investors. So I had like 15, 20 grand in the bank, and I'm like, oh, let me buy a house. So I bought a house in 2006, and then by 2007, I had about 50 rental units that I owned, and we were renovating, and I was, turning a lot of houses over. It was a lot of stress. It would be, there'd be like five figures every month of money coming in and going out. And I was a fireman full time with three kids. And I was like reading about this guy in the 4 hour work week. And I'm like, oh man, that sounds so good. I'm working like 40 hours in the fire department, driving like 100 hours a week because most of my properties were 90 miles away from my job. And 40 miles away from my house. So I was just driving all the time, back and forth to work on these real estate projects. And we were renovating a lot of buildings. And I started listening to books in the car on the way, both ways. And I got a copy of this thing called The Marketer's Bookshelf. And I think there's about 50 books in there. So it's stuff like The E-Myth Revisited, the Simon Sinek's book, Start with the Why, Alan Dibb's book, One Page Marketing Plan. If anybody wants it, I could give you guys a link to it. It's a great resource. It doesn't give you any knowledge, but it just gives you a roadmap of which books to read first. And I'm still reading them. I'm probably like 20 books deep at this point, 6 years in. So when I was reading all that stuff, I started to intersperse it with podcasts like the E-Commerce Fuel podcast. And I really can't remember the guy's name, but there's a really great podcast on Facebook ads. After this is over, I'm gonna remember who it is, and he's awesome. I listened to him for a couple of years. He's got like this really crazy sound that he plays always in the beginning of his podcast, and I'll link to it in the show notes if you guys have show notes. So I would just read all these things, and then somebody who I was following was basically just like, it doesn't matter how much you know, it's how much you execute. Excuse me. So I had known about my wife had a business going, and she had a website for it. I was like, let me test out my theories. So in 2018, she started letting me fool around with it part time. So I would dig into it. I started trying that stuff out. For 2 years, I beat my head against the wall and nothing really worked out. And then by 2020, I had gotten decent at it. I was running some Facebook ads and I started getting some good ROAS. So I would say what interested me most, what kept me coming back, was the fact that I was no good at it. And I would just be reading books and listening to people who are awesome at it. And I was like, man, I want to be just like those guys. I want to have the thrill of having an ad get like 20 times return on ad spend.
Cool. So, do you think AI can be a good help in this business, in the business of marketing, plus in the business of e-commerce?
Yeah, it's funny. Everybody's talking about it right now. I was messing around with Midjourney like a year ago for a small brand that I knew. They didn't have any budget, so I hired some guys off of Fiverr again to post up some photos just to test out some copy to see what the response would be to this product. And so what my guy on Fiverr did was he created an image, a beautiful image of a girl on the beach, and then I gave him a product shot, and he took Photoshop and put that product on the girl on the beach. And it was, we got pretty good response to it. The company never went anywhere, so we stopped doing it. But it was almost a year ago. I would say it's probably like 10 months ago, right when they came out. I don't know exactly when Midjourney came out, but it was probably within 60 days. I was on the Midjourney Discord, and we're using Stable Diffusion too. So I don't really use it. I used it to consult with a company about 6 months ago. They asked me to give them like 90 days worth of marketing. So I went into Canva Pro. I have Canva Pro. So I went into Canva Pro. There's a feature in there. If you go to Canva Pro Create, you just tell it, hey, create me 365 marketing posts for social media for Instagram. And it basically just spits out 365 ideas, little sentence. I think it's awesome as an idea generator. I definitely don't think that it is there yet as just put it in and use it. Like whatever, you know, whatever you get from it, you better sharpen it up, I feel like. And I know that there's a lot of guys out there who are like, branding is nothing. Don't do any branding, just test marketing and sell stuff and see what the customers say. But I do think when you get that stuff out of AI, you have to put it through the brain of the brand and say, you know, this is what this AI means to this brand. It's great for inspiration. In other words, that's my take.
Yeah, obviously, this is, I believe you have more knowledge than others in this regard. Whoever I met before you, so yeah, even you know about the Mid Journey Plus Stable Diffusion. This is amazing. Yeah.
My timeline might be off. Could be that I'm wrong with the timeline, but I think it was about a year ago. Probably about maybe it was 9 months ago.
Yeah, it was like end of last year. Well, okay. I guess like my question in terms of AI, like, you know, I feel like, and just from like a marketing perspective, do you see the value, for example, with chatbots, right? Being able to have live conversations and providing information. No.
I have heavily tested chatbots, man, and lost a lot of money doing it because I always felt like it's great to have live salespeople. So we connected at one point with one of the brands. I'm not going to tell which brand it is because they're not going to like me talking about them live. But I connected a chatbot to our customer service person. And it was only in action from, because it was California time zone, it was only in action from like 11, you know, Eastern Standard Time to like 7 p.m. Eastern Standard. And if you were on our website and you had a question, you could just hit that person up and it would text them immediately. You have a question. And they were just basically sitting there in front of a computer waiting to answer questions. And we loved it. It was like they were getting so much feedback. Like, we love this person. We you know, in our reviews, it said, we love the customer service person. They're so great. So about 30 days in, I'm looking at the conversion numbers and I'm like, holy cow. Looks like somebody took a bath to our website. Like, our conversion numbers were in the mid threes and now they're down in like the low twos, which is a tremendous, you know, difference. It's 50% or 45% when you're spending six figures a month on Facebook and Google ads together. That's a lot of money lost. So I'm trying to figure out what was going on. And I looked at the timeline and I one trick I have that I'll pass to you guys is I have a Google sheet that everybody is on in my company. And if you do a single change to the website, it could be change a phone number, change a price, change a photograph, whatever it is, that goes into the sheet. And only one person is allowed to really make changes on our website. It's not me, because I don't trust myself with that stuff. I can make a lot of changes, but I don't trust myself. I'm not diligent enough to like look at things from a critical standpoint, follow through with the system. So one person controls that sheet. And she fortunately had recorded the day that we put up the chatbot. And I put it on a graph and I'm looking, you know, with sales numbers and I'm looking at, I'm like, holy cow, it's the same day. So I was thinking about it for a day or two and I was like, just take that thing down. So we took the chatbot down and within like 3 days, conversion skyrocketed again. And I'm like, holy cow. But we didn't learn because we wanted to test it again. So we had a big sale going on. We threw it on during the big sale and conversion tanked. The sales went up, but our conversion tanked. So my estimation is, I don't have any proof of this, but my estimation is that when you put a chatbot on there, it distracts people from doing what they're there to do, which is purchase. We have spent a lot of money on the few websites that I'm involved with to tailor that website as a funnel to get that person to the point where they're walking out with a bag in hand. And you put that thing on the screen in color and it moves up and down. It's like a shiny object. It's like, don't buy, don't buy. That's my personal view. And it's been tested three times now. And it, oh, like recently, just a month or two ago, somebody turned the chatbot on because we had a sale going on and they turned the chatbot on. And I said that, you know, hey, I go, I just realized you guys have the chatbot on. How long has it been on? And they were like, well, it's been on for like 3 days. And I'm like, look back at the conversion rate and I could see like a marked difference in conversion.
There was a huge difference in it.
Like, what's that?
In your conversion, there was a huge difference.
The biggest difference I noticed was the first time we used it for a long period of time. And it's hard for me to tell why that happens. But once I have done it three times, I don't really need to explain it to myself. You know, I just look at it and I'm like, okay, I know what's going on around here.
Okay, great. So, in fact, let's get back to this, not into the social media where we were. Like, this was something amazing for me. Like, you know about Midjourney, you know about Stable Diffusion. It means you have tried all these things. Okay, so now it's been a year, and everything has changed a lot. In fact, day by day, things are getting improved. Even Midjourney is getting improved day by day. But do you think there is any chance like these sort of services, GPT, Midjourney, Stable Diffusion, or other providers like Bard now? And now Bard is also in the game, like the Google's Bard, right?
Yeah.
So
Google's the big, you know, the giant in the room. And when they get on something, people are going to be like, in 10 years, I will bet people will be like, what was ChatGPT again? Can't remember that. Never heard of it. Because, you know, Google is now here. That's it. I could be wrong about that, but I see it as a distinct possibility. I should mention here that we are using AI for a couple of things. First of all, anybody who's doing Advantage Plus is using Facebook's idea of AI, I would imagine. I haven't read anything that's like definitive to say we are using AI here in Advantage Plus, but when they talk about it, it sounds like they're using AI. That's what it sounds like to me. I would say Google is probably doing the same thing with their PMax campaigns. And we recently put a service on called Socio, S-O-C-I-O-H. And I found out about Socio from Karan. He's like one of their founders. So what it does is it takes your catalog of all of your products and it puts them into a format where you can pick the color that frames your product. And it also takes copy out from a folder and changes the copy for the same image. So it will create multiple copy versions of the same ad from your catalog, like automatically. All you do is put the copy in, you feed the pictures into the feed, and it spits out dynamic ads, DPAs. And I love DPAs because we've been testing them and they're best performing ad set right now. So we started to use that recently, and I have great hopes for that.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or just best way for somebody to get in contact with you?
Sure. The website that we have is Perfect White Tea. Perfect White, the color, T-T-E-E. And we have another business that my wife does, which is called Showroom Delfina. I would give that a little bit of a plug there because it's the sales agency that she put together that sold Perfect White Tea into like 700 stores. And if there's anybody out there who's starting a brand, there's a couple of things I would do. I would make sure that you jump out there and before you have 100 pieces of that item, put it on some customers, you know, because you really want to hear what people have to say about your product before you make a lot of it. And then once you do that, once you have a product, I would go to a brick and mortar store and see if you could sell it to one brick and mortar store and see what they say about it next. Because those people are just so knowledgeable about what sells, what people want, what people don't want. And that's very important. So, you know, like in this world of virtual and AI and everything, there are still people and those people have opinions and they have needs. And if you're not going to find out what their needs and what their wants are, it's going to be hard. Even with all the tools that we have, it's going to be hard to answer that.
That's so true. Well, Johnny, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully you have a great Q4. And yeah, thanks again.
Can you guys hear my dog going nuts in there?
No, we didn't hear anything.
That's so funny. My dog is like 2 feet away from me and she's like barking like a mad dog.
Well, you have those like noise canceling headphones, so we can't hear anything.
So, like the last 30 seconds, I've been like, man, these people are like, I think I just broke into a house or something. The dog is like, what's this guy doing in the backyard?
No, yeah, it's very good headphones. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, I love working outside. My wife uses the indoor office, and because I have these headphones, she says I yell. She's like, you're so loud, you have to go outside. So I always do all my calls, and most of the time I'm standing up. Like I actually have a little countertop desk over there. So most of the time I do this, I stand up.
That's funny. Awesome. Well,
yeah,
thanks, John.
It keeps me active. I think it's great to be outside when you're trying to work.
No, 100%. 100%. All right. Thanks again.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. All right. Bye.